Well, you guys doing well then? You ready to jump in and get started? I'm just so honored to be able to jump in and share as part of your series, I Prophesy. How many of you know that we're not all called to be prophets, but we're all called to prophesy? Which to prophesy is simply to communicate God's heart or his word to a person or a group of people. And how many of you know that as sons and daughters of God, we have a really good father who loves to speak to his kids? And not only that, but one of the ways that he chooses to speak to you and I is through other sons and daughters of God around us. And I want to get started by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, Paul says this: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and comfort and exhortation to men. Paul commanded the Corinthian church to desire earnestly spiritual gifts. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the church hearing this phrase that we should seek the giver and not his gifts. Ever hear anybody say that before? Or we should, you know, seek his face and not his hands. Ever hear that? Let's just take the phrase, seek the giver and not his gifts. It sounds really, really noble and really spiritual, but how many of you know it's not biblical? Because Paul said, pursue love and desire these things called spiritual gifts. And let me just say this. I don't believe that as the body of Christ, we can fully fulfill our mandate to make disciples, to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations without these things called spiritual gifts. We live among a generation that is crying out for spiritual reality. That's why there's movies being produced in Hollywood all about the supernatural and the paranormal. And remember the whole Twilight series and the, not that it was worth watching, and like, you know, movies about the supernatural and even TV series are just screaming to a generation about the supernatural because we live among a generation who is crying out for spiritual reality. We live among a generation that is longing to connect to the spiritual, to something supernatural. But how many of you know that everything else out there is counterfeit? The only real person who can fill the void is Jesus Christ. But Paul said, desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And then he said, but especially that you might prophesy. Why? Because he who prophesies speaks encouragement, edification, and comfort to the person that you're talking to. Foundational to New Testament prophetic ministry is it encourages. And I believe that every single one of us can prophesy. Every single one of us, if you are a born-again believer, follower of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, you can speak the word of the Lord to the people around you. But the real test as to whether a word is from God, I will say this, it needs to be biblical. God will never speak a word that contradicts Scripture. How many of you are thankful for the Bible? That's the final authoritative word of God. God will never contradict his word. So that's one of the obvious tests. But one of the other tests is this. Is the word that you're getting for somebody encouraging? I like to ask people, you know, when you're thinking about giving somebody a word that you think is from God, ask yourself this question. Is it a word that I would want to receive? And if the answer is no, then you should probably hang on to it for a little bit. So, first and foremost, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Prophecy is encouraging. I heard one person say this: encouragement is the mother tongue of the Holy Spirit. He just loves to encourage. And if you want to grow in your ability to prophesy, to speak the word of the Lord to the people around you, make it a goal to be the most encouraging person on planet Earth. And before you realize it, if you'll just be intentional about encouraging people everywhere you go, calling the gold out of them, telling them the strengths that are on their life, telling them the good things that you see in them, what's going to happen is before you know it, you're going to be prophesying over them. Because I believe that encouragement attracts revelation. It attracts the voice and the word of the Lord. Does that make sense? So let's just encourage. What do you think would happen if every time we came together on a Sunday, we came to receive a great word from Pastor Dwayne or whoever it is that's preaching that morning, have great worship? We come to receive, but how many of you know that we all also come to give and to contribute? And what would happen if every time we came together, each of us said, God, who's the one, two, or three people that need a word of encouragement from you? And if we would do that, I really believe the Lord would show us and highlight people to us and show us who it is that needs a word of encouragement. And it could be something as simple as, hey, I just saw you out in the hallway, and I just feel like the Lord just really wants you to know that he knows what you're going through right now. He loves you. He sees you. And he just wants you to know that everything's going to be okay. You know, sometimes the best prophetic word you can give somebody is it's going to be all right. You're going to get through this. And see, it releases hope. It releases encouragement. And every single one of us can do this. And Paul said, desire earnestly that you might prophesy, because when you do, you speak encouragement, edification, and comfort. The other point that I want to make is this, if you're taking notes, prophecy is creative. The Bible says in Genesis that you and I were made in God's image, right? In the same way that God is spirit, you and I are spirit. We're made in his image. We're spirit men. We're spirit women, filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the implications of that is this: in the same way that God spoke and created the world, when you and I speak, we release creative power. One of my pastors, when I lived in California, used to say this: our words create worlds. And it doesn't mean we go around creating planets, literally, but it does mean this, that when we speak encouragement to somebody or when we prophesy over somebody, we're actually creating worlds, new worlds around that person's life. We're unlocking new realities. Ephesians 4:29, Paul said this to the Ephesians. He said, don't let anything corrupt come out of your mouth, but only what is good for necessary edification. There's that word to build up, strengthen, edify. Listen to this, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Everybody say grace. That word grace is the same word used in the book of Acts, where it says that great grace came upon the apostles to do signs, wonders, and miracles. It's a supernatural enabling power to do something that you couldn't do 2 seconds before somebody spoke to you. How many think that's pretty powerful? Proverbs 18:21 says that both death and life are in what? Are in the power of the tongue. We hear that scripture sometimes and we think, okay, death can be in the power of the tongue, so I need to make sure that I'm not sarcastic, I don't speak word curses, I don't cut people down, I'm not rude, I'm not sarcastic. That's good. But how many of you know that we're also called to go on the offense against the powers of darkness and release words of life everywhere we go? That unlocking people's destinies, calling people into who they are. Our words are powerful. A few years ago, I was in Norman, Oklahoma, traveling with a team that was ministering, and the person that was teaching in this school of ministry, and at the end, he called myself and several others to the front to prophesy, to release words of encouragement over the students that were in the school. There's probably 50 or 60 students. And I remember to this day, one gentleman on the team, he was over on this side of the room. He had a prophetic word for a young man over on this side. He said, "Young man with the green sweater, can you stand?" So he stood and began to prophesy over him. He said, "I see you playing guitar and singing and leading worship in front of crowds of people, ushering people into the presence of God as you lead worship. You're a worship leader." Now, what you need to understand is this young man didn't play guitar. He didn't sing. He didn't do any of those things. And it would have been really easy for him to dismiss the word and be like, "That wasn't me. That's not me at all. It must have been the guy behind me. I must have gotten in the way somehow," you know. But the pastor of the church with the school heard the word, went out, bought the young man a guitar. And he's like, "You better start practicing that thing." So he starts practicing and, you know, developing the gift that God released to him. A year later, we went back and spoke in the same school. Didn't see the young man in the school. And then we ministered in the church that Sunday morning, church of, I don't know, several hundred people. And guess who was leading worship that morning? This same young man, gifted, anointed, moving in the exact word that was spoken over him, with a beautiful voice, playing guitar really well, ushering us into the presence of God. Can we just thank Jesus for that? What happened? I believe when the prophetic word was released, it released a supernatural grace into his life to step into it by faith and start to walk out the prophetic word. I said it in first service. If somebody prophesies that you're going to have a healing ministry, you can't just like stay home and play Xbox and just hope that it happens. You can't just stay home and play video games and wait for Benny Hinn to call you and say, "Hey, I want you to come preach at this crusade." If somebody prophesies that you're going to be an evangelist and you're going to preach in front of thousands of people, like you better memorize a few Bible verses. You better get some ministry training. You better take a step of faith into the grace that was released, but you need to take a step of faith into it. Does that make sense? Bill Johnson, one of my pastors in California, likes to say this: nothing happens in the kingdom unless there's first a declaration. God is sovereign and he can do whatever he wants, but he likes to move through his sons and daughters. And here's the deal: when you and I prophesy, angels move to fulfill the word of the Lord. It says in Psalm 103 that angels move at his word. When you and I declare, prophesy over an individual or even over a city or over a region, what happens is a grace is released and God releases angels to fulfill the very thing that we declared. I think sometimes there's angels assigned to our lives ready to fulfill the word of the Lord when we speak it, but they're walking around bored because we're not giving them anything to do. The more we declare, the more we prophesy, the more we speak the things that we believe God wants to do and what it is that he's saying, the more we're giving God something to work with and even his ministering spirits to fulfill the word of the Lord. Does this make sense? Our words are really, really powerful. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, and starting in verse 1, this is an amazing encounter, an amazing story about the prophet Ezekiel that goes into this encounter, whether it's a vision, a trance, whether he's transported somewhere in the spirit, I don't know, but it's an encounter, a prophetic encounter that he's having. And it says this in Ezekiel 37 verse 1: "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.'" That's the safest answer you can give when God asks you a question. "O Lord God, you know." Verse 4, again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live.'" Say, "shall live." "I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, one of the things that I want to point out is this. Notice that Ezekiel didn't say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You are really dry. Right? See, sometimes we think we're prophetic because we state the obvious. If somebody walks into the back of the church on a Sunday morning and they look depressed, it doesn't take a prophet to walk up to them and say, hey, I saw you come in the back room, and I feel like I have the word of the Lord for you. You're depressed. You know, that's called the gift of observation. But see, the prophetic knows how to look past somebody's current circumstances and call them who they are before they are. If you're taking notes, write this down. Prophecy calls people who they are before they are. And God does this all through Scripture, doesn't he? Remember in Genesis 17, when the angel of the Lord showed up to Abram? Abram was old. His wife was old. His wife was barren. Couldn't have kids. And the angel of the Lord shows up and says, Abram, I no longer call you Abram. I now call you Abraham. You are father of a multitude. His current circumstance didn't tell him he was father of a multitude, did it? But God called him who he was before he was. And that's why in Romans 4:17, it says, Abram believed God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that are not as though they are. Remember Judges 6? Israel hears that their enemies are coming. So a young man named Gideon is hanging out, hiding out in a wine press. Angel of the Lord shows up and says, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor, and you're going to deliver the people of Israel. Gideon's like, I think you got the wrong guy. Gideon's like, I'm the least in my family. My family's the least of our tribe. Our tribe's the least of the tribes of Israel. And I don't know if you've noticed this, angel, but I'm hiding right now. I'm afraid. Gideon was like, angel of the Lord, you probably just got really, really excited. You must have just come from like a really great worship service in heaven. But I think you got the wrong guy because I'm hiding right now. I'm really scared. And God has this way of looking past our emotions, looking past our circumstances, even looking past our current experience and calling us who we are before we are. And when he calls us who we are before we are, it releases the grace for us to step into who we actually are. And that's what prophecy does. It calls people who they are before they are. So if you see somebody walk through the door and they look depressed, rather than go up and say, hey, I feel like you're depressed, what about walking up to them and asking God what his heart is for them? Saying, hey, I saw you come through that door, and I don't know what you're going through right now, but the Lord wants you to know the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you are coming into a new season. You're about to experience breakthrough. You're about to experience victory. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I just prophesy Song of Solomon 2 over you, that the winter is over and the spring has come and the sound of doves is heard in the land. And you are stepping into a springtime season, a new season in the Lord. And it's really, really good. By the way, I release that over some of you this morning in Jesus' name. You're stepping into a new season. Your past is behind you. The winter is over and the spring has come. And that's what the prophetic does. It calls people who they are before they are. And God loves to call us who we are before we are. Let me just say this. We can prophesy over ourselves. In fact, I encourage you to prophesy over yourself just as much as you prophesy over other people. If you're struggling with something, let's just throw it an example. If you're struggling with comparison, let's just say you struggle with comparing yourself with other people and always feeling discouraged because you think other people are better at whatever than you. What if you just decided to move in the opposite spirit and not just believe truth, but speak the truth and start to declare, I am designed and created uniquely by God, and I am an amazing son and daughter of God just the way that he made me. I radiate the glory of God in the earth. Begin to prophesy over yourself. I'm confident. I'm made in God's image. I actually display a facet of God's nature in the earth in a way that nobody else does. By the way, that doesn't release pride. It releases godly confidence for us to step into the reality of who God says that we are. Some of you know who the Bible teacher Joyce Meyer is. Joyce Meyer tells a story. She's a best-selling author now. She's written I don't know how many books. Do you know what she did before she wrote one book? She believed God gave her a promise that she was going to write books. So she used to walk around in her house saying, I write books. Like, I'm a best-selling author. I have a gift of writing. And people buy my books. She used to do this. And she was calling herself who she was before she was. And we need to practice prophesying over ourselves, just encouraging ourselves sometimes. When I lived in Canada, I had a pastor who really believed in the power of the spoken word. And he shared a story how sometimes he would be feeling discouraged. So he would just have to encourage himself in the Lord. Remember, it says that David, when he went through a hard time, encouraged or strengthened himself in the Lord. One of the ways that we do that is by prophesying over ourselves. And my pastor, if he was having a hard time, this was back in the day when, you know, we actually used our landlines in our house and not just cell phones. He'd be in his church office feeling discouraged, and he would call his home phone knowing that there was nobody there to answer it, and then the answering machine would pick up. And he'd say, hello, Pastor Steve. This is Pastor Steve calling. I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you, and I have a word for you. I feel like the Lord wants you to know you're a great pastor. You're a great husband. You're a great father. You're doing a great job pastoring your church. God is moving in your midst. He's moving in your city. You're doing a good job. I bless you. I strengthen you. And he starts to prophesy over himself. Then he gets home from work and he plays the answering machine. And he's like, I receive that. Ooh, that's a good word. I receive that word. You know, that's funny, but we can strengthen ourselves in the word. We can strengthen ourselves by prophesying over ourselves. What if we just woke up in the morning saying, today's going to be a great day. Something amazing is going to happen. See, our words create worlds, not just for the people around us, but for ourselves as well. Remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil and led into the wilderness and tested by the devil for 40 days? Jesus didn't think his way out of the wilderness. He spoke his way out of the wilderness. And sometimes we need to prophesy over ourselves in order for us to step into the next level of breakthrough. Our words are really, really powerful. And we need to practice doing this. And we'll practice in a few minutes. But we need to understand that prophecy calls people who they are before they are. And fourthly, prophecy draws people to Jesus. See, prophecy works just as well outside the church as it does inside the church. Did you know that? We don't just prophesy over other believers. We can prophesy over unbelievers, or I like to call them pre-believers. And we can actually use our words of encouragement over those that don't know Jesus to allow the kindness of God to lead them to repentance. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. Paul said, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. We can prophesy over total strangers, and in so doing, open their hearts up to the reality of God. A number of years ago, I was in the Department of Motor Vehicle when I lived in California, and I was waiting for something to get done for my car, and I'm sitting there in the waiting room, and because I know you can wait there for a while, I had my laptop with me, and I was working on something, And as I was sitting there typing, I felt like the Lord gave me a word of knowledge for healing. So I asked the lady sitting on this side of me, I said, "Do you have pain in your wrist by any chance?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Oh." She said, "Why?" I said, "Well, sometimes God just shows me when he's healing somebody, and I felt like he was healing somebody's wrist." So I asked the next person who was sitting across from me, I said, "Do you have pain in your wrist?" They said, "No." And then I finally asked the third person who was sitting next to me over on this side of the room, and I said, "Do you have pain in your wrist?" And it was a young lady, and she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I feel like God wants to heal you." I said, "Can you just put your own hand on your wrist right now?" And she did. I said, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Sure." So I just prayed a simple prayer. I said, "Kingdom of God, come. I release healing into your wrist. All pain go right now in Jesus' name." And then I said, "Move it around. See how it feels." She moves it around. All the pain's totally gone. And then I began to prophesy over her. I said, "Hey, the Lord just did that to show you just how much he loves you. And by the way, he wants you to know that if you have kids someday, you're going to be a great mom, because I can see that you have a real mother's heart. You have a pure heart. In fact, your friends also talk about you, and they talk about how loyal you are. It's because God has made you a really loyal friend. It's actually a gift that's on your life." And you could just see her demeanor relax. You could just see her countenance change, because she believed, wow, like, he actually, like, there's actually a God in heaven who sees me and knows me and has good things to say. See, so many people that don't know the Lord have this perception that he's this big, mean cop in the sky ready to hit them as soon as they make a mistake. But we need to let people know that we have a really loving father who is just longing for his sons and daughters to know him, to come into it, to come into the kingdom through his son Jesus. And it's the kindness and love of God that draws people into his heart. So I just prophesy over her. I said, "I just want to bless you with that in Jesus' name." And then this awkward silence just fills the room. And then the lady over on this side raised her hand and she goes, "Excuse me." And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Do you have one of those for me?" And I said, "I totally have one of those for you." But God didn't say, "Chuck, I also have a word for the girl on your right." I just know that he's always speaking because he is the word of God. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That means God is always speaking. He is the word of God. And it's just up to us to lean into his heart a little bit and say, "God, what are you saying to this person? What are you saying in this given situation?" So I leaned into his heart and I quietly said, "Lord, what do you want to say to her?" And then I began to prophesy over her. I don't remember what it said again. Began to encourage her. And the whole atmosphere of the waiting room shifted just through speaking encouraging words from the heart of God. And we can do this everywhere we go. I was at the gym not that long ago, and I'm coming down the stairs at Gold's Gym to go to my car. And at the same time, a lady's coming past me. So I felt like the Lord said, "Go back and give her a word of encouragement." So I go back. I said, "Excuse me. My name's Chuck. I'm a pastor in the area. Sometimes I get words of encouragement. I feel like I have one for you. Can I share it with you?" She said, "Sure." And I said, "I feel like there's a gift of wisdom and counsel on your life, and people actually come to you and open up to you about what they're going through because you're a safe place, and it's a gift of wisdom that God has put on your life." As I'm sharing it, she started to laugh, and she goes, "I'm actually a counselor." I said, "That's amazing. It sounds like God's just confirming that you're on the right track. He loves you so much." And I promise you, she left that day feeling seen and known by God. Just like two or three weeks ago, I was on my way to preach in Midland, West Texas, at a friend's church, and I'm at the San Antonio airport. God highlighted to me a young man who was just kind of thugged out, looked like a bit of a tough guy sitting in the food court area, and I felt like God wanted me to talk to him. So I said, "God, what do you want to share with them?" And I felt like he showed me something. So at that point, he got up and walked toward his gate. I walked up beside him. Same thing. I said, "Excuse me." He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm a pastor, and I feel like I have a word of encouragement for you. Is it okay if I share it?" He goes, "Sure." I said, "I feel like there's something going on." In fact, I asked him, I said, "Is there a situation going on with your parents right now, the relationship among your parents, and it's been really, really hard?" And he goes, "That's crazy." I said, "Why?" He began to open up to me that there was some unfaithfulness among his parents, and one of his dads was actually an elder in the church, and it created a lot of hurt, and it hurt him and his brother. And I began to prophesy and declare that God saw him, that he understood, that and I got to pray with him that God would bring healing and restoration. And right there in the middle of the airport, I said, "Hey, can I pray for you right now?" He goes, "For sure." And he puts his hand on my shoulder and bows his head right there in the middle of the airport. And I began to minister to him and pray for him. And after that encounter, I got to pray for a TSA lady and release healing into her wrist. And she's like, "What What church do you go to? And this is just in the San Antonio airport. I haven't even got to the church I'm speaking in yet. And I thought, it's on. So all through San Antonio airport, all through Dallas airport, I was on assignment to just release words of encouragement from the heart of God and see his kindness start to draw people closer to his heart. And every single one of us can do this. It's as simple as just saying, God, what do you want to say to this person? How can I? And you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord, or speak in tongues in their ear, or anything that's going to freak them out. You can basically just say, hey, I have a word of encouragement for you from God. Is it okay if I share? 98% of the time, if not more, people say yes, because everybody is hungry for encouragement. I don't care if somebody is 7 or 70. I heard this story about a 7-year-old in California who at my old church who is getting ready to have a birthday party, and they said, Mom, I don't want a clown at my birthday party this year. Mom said, okay, what do you want to do? She said, I want a prophetic team to come to my birthday party and release a personal prophetic word of encouragement over all of my friends who come to my birthday party. Whether somebody is 7 or 70, we're hungry for encouragement, and God wants to release encouragement through the prophetic, and every single one of us can hear God's voice and speak encouragement and speak prophecy to the people that God puts around us.